Our teaching tonight is back into the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Ain't a better subject. Talking about Jesus. Jesus is always easy to preach and teach. It's no problem coming up with loads of good things about Him. Hallelujah. Well, we are, last week, we can't go back over everything we taught last week, but we're going to, there's some things we're going to continue to teach along that line tonight. I don't know how far we're going to go in it tonight. But what we were looking at last week, we began into the teaching and we didn't teach the parable of the sower. We're going to. I teach the parable of the sower actually at the end of this. So we go through the actual parable of the sower because we teach a principle that you need to understand if you're going to develop in Christianity and you're going to walk, live the Christian life. Jesus laid down really the guidelines and rules for really developing developing spiritually. And he laid this down and we started through it. It's really looking at Jesus. Jesus made the statement and said to his disciples that if you don't understand the parable of the sower, how can you understand all parables? We need to understand this, that in the kingdom of God, God's laid out principles of how the kingdom works and how things operate. And if we don't follow those principles, you're not going to flow in the kingdom. You need to know that Jesus laid these rules down, and the parable sower lays out really of how things work in some things of how they work in the kingdom. But Jesus talked about being taught, and we found out as we were looking through the scriptures, Jesus dealt with the issue because with people, that not everybody that's going to come out and listen to the preaching or the teaching of the word is going to learn anything. He laid that principle out because he told the disciples, and we read last week, where the disciples came to Jesus. Jesus gave the parable of the sower. It's very interesting because, we'll read through the parable of the sower of how what Jesus told everybody. There was a multitude there when Jesus spoke, and Jesus told the parable of the sower, but he never explained it. Well, just listening to the parable of the sower, you wouldn't have a clue what on earth's going on. And when he was done, we found this out. The Bible told us that his disciples and the ones that were with him came. In other words, it was more than just the 12. They came and they said, what did you mean by this thing? And he told them, it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But he said for them, and them is the people who are not disciples. See, Jesus, you need to understand this about the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us, then the Holy Spirit's going to do what Jesus did. If a person is not going to be a follower of Christ, you know, as many people say, I'm a Christian, that doesn't make you a follower of Christ. Many people, as I always said, you know, they just got fire insurance. That's all they wanted. They really didn't want Jesus or to live the life of Jesus. And one of the things is because the way we preach today, we don't ask people if they really want to live this, to say, hey, you know, you're going to come to Christ? We say, come to Christ and be saved. And they say, hold it. Do you really want to live this life? Because, you know, you could be wasting your time getting born again and not following Christ. You could end up in more problems and trouble than you ever had in your life. And we need to know that. You know, a Christian who don't know anything about the kingdom is the devil's target. And every ugly, bad thing is going to happen to him. You've just figured, like I said, watch people all the time. I've lived in this kingdom long enough to know this stuff's true. And it works. It's one of the things is you tell people if they're not going to follow Christ, don't bother coming to Christ. Jesus himself said, and I always do, I go along with John G. Lake, Jesus is the last, you know, word on the subject. If Jesus said something about it, Jesus said if a guy was building a tower, you should check out first if you have the means to finish the tower before you start building it. In other words, you count the cost of things. He said if you're going to go to war against somebody, you better make sure you can lick them. If you can't, stay at home. You know, we need to understand the principle. It's the same way. This is a principle of the kingdom. He wasn't talking about building towers, fighting battles. He's talking about the kingdom. In other words, you make a choice. You decide, are you going to follow this thing? There's no point in coming to Christ if you're not going to follow it. And we have to understand that it's about following Christ. Because he turned around and told the disciples, it is for you to know the mystery of the kingdoms. In other words, God is going to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to disciples. And you need to get in faith with that. Too many people, and I think they have a heart to be a disciple, but they're walking around talking the wrong stuff all the time. I just don't get anything out of the Bible. I'm reading it, but I just don't. See, why do you say that stuff? Because Jesus said the mysteries of the kingdom are going to be revealed to you. Why don't you start agreeing with Jesus and instead of your stupidity? You know, start saying the right stuff. Speak the right thing. If Jesus said that the mysteries are supposed to be made known to you, then they will be. You know, I would never, ever let it enter upon my lips that God won't teach me or show me stuff. I would never say God don't speak to me. I will never say that. There's times I didn't listen, but never was it was that God didn't speak. It was my listening problem. It wasn't God's speaking problem. And Jesus spoke and said things. He said many times, He said, be careful like how you hear or be careful what you hear. We found out that He talked about measuring, how you measure what you hear. So in other words, it has to do with us, not Him. See, many people are always looking on the God side. One of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin years ago, and he gave an illustration which happened to deal with the area of dealing with a woman who had had breast cancer, who was dying, and he was dealing with that subject, but this fits across the line of just spiritual things, of how they work. And he said they were praying. He said it was a minister's wife, and he said she was bedridden, and she was in a bedroom. And he said it was this minister and his wife who was in the bed. It was himself and his wife and another minister and his wife. And he said they got together this home, and he said they were there for a few days. They were seeking God and praying concerning her and her health. And he said they were praying. And Brother Hagin, he said after the third day, he said he got everybody together. He said, look, he said, I've never prayed this long and never gotten an answer. And, you know, I found out there's times that I prayed longer than that, and I found out I wasn't listening right. But you don't have to pray night and day. If you don't start hearing from God, what a lot of people don't ever do, they keep doing the same thing and never hearing from God. If you're doing that kind of thing and you're not hearing from God, you need to come to the things, I'm doing something wrong here. It's not God doing something wrong. God is doing everything He can to answer us. And Kenneth Hagin said, we've been doing this thing wrong. He said, we keep dealing from the sending side. And he said, there's nothing wrong with the sending side. It's the receiving side. It's us. And he said to him, at that time, radio was big. He said, like with radios, he said, I'd hear my car. He said, if I turn the radio on, I don't pick up the station. He said, my first thought isn't, what's wrong with that transmission on that station? He said, I'll check to see if my receiver's working. And see, but you know what? Most Christians, this is what they do. It's always the first things out of their mouth and in their thoughts. Why isn't God talking to me? It always goes to the God's side. And it's not God's side. God is going to do everything He said in His Word that He will do. He's always going to. And when I first heard that thing, it really helped me out just to understand it. Because they went back and began to pray again, but they began to pray in a different direction. You know, within a half an hour, the woman's up out of the bed completely healed, walking around. Soon as they changed. I found this all the time with people. You can't get people to change. They keep doing the same thing over and over and ain't getting results. They call that insanity. You know, they say to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different, something different. That's insanity. We've been pretty insane at times. We have. It's spiritual things that we have, but we got to learn to relate our spiritual things to how things work in the natural. We wouldn't, lots of times, never do in the natural certain things that we do in the spirit. You know, if something isn't working, usually we would try to find out, what do I have to do different? But spiritually, there's almost a fear for people to change. You just keep beating the same dead horse. You just keep doing it the same old way. Well, this is the way we always did it, And we don't like to change. You have to learn. You have to stop and say, okay, God, where am I missing it? I got to be the one missing it. As I got the little book from Kenneth Hagin years ago when I first got born again, and it was called Don't Blame God. And it dealt with the whole thing of it is if it ain't working, it's you got the problem, not God. God's doing what His Word says. In other words, I got to line up with how He does it. So if it's not working, I got to find out what He's doing and hook up with it, because then it'll work. And so I learned that. Well, anyhow, so it's the same way. With us, during the kingdom of God, when we turn around and dealing over in the areas here with how we hear things, now we need to make sure that we, on our side, we're listening right to God. See, people, we can have, all of us, there's probably none of us here that we haven't had preconceived ideas about things. And then we come along, and I found, you know, I would have preconceived ideas about things and go along and then find out later on, it wasn't the way it was at all. But never, ever lose your teachability. Never lose it. Many Christians are not teachable, and that's where their problem is. They are not teachable. You know, it isn't, you know, it's like some people, you know, is stating the standpoint. It isn't that many times that people can't learn. Many times they won't learn. You know, it's like a child. You know, you have a child can be very intelligent in that stuff, but if they won't learn, won't pay attention to what's going on, they don't learn a thing, and people act like, well, you know, they have a syndrome. No, they don't. They need to learn to be trained to be focused and that kind of stuff and do things. Today they'll call a syndrome, give you a drug, and you won't ever have to learn again. They'll just pay you for the rest of your life not to do something. So that's the idea. They don't turn around and they don't train people, and people need to be taught and trained. My dad knew how to get my attention. It's amazing. He knew how to do that. So, but you know, is learning is because, folks, that's hugely important, is to learning. A lot of people, one of the reasons you're going to have trouble in the kingdom of God if you're not a person who can sit down and learn and turn around and take the time to learn around, learn to listen, learn to pay attention. You know, God tells people things, and people say God told them stuff. They never write it down. They never remember. They never do nothing with it. You know, people say God spoke to me in a message, and next week they can't even tell you what the message was or what God said. And that's really, that comes down to laziness. It's the same thing. When you're in school, you know, you wouldn't sit in classes and never take notes and then turn around and expect to do good in a test, you know. Unless you just, you know, you have a memory, you just remember everything that's ever said. That'd be nice to do. But you need to do this. In other words, to be educated is going to require something of you to do things, and it's going to be work on your part. And this is one of the things that we have trouble in our American society today, because our American society is not work-oriented. We're not work-oriented. We're sort of getting everything we can free-oriented. That's basically the way most people operate. So they're not real. They don't see the need to have to try to, you know, somebody else will do this thing for me. If I don't get it done, somebody else will do it. And you need to understand, God does not operate in that fashion. He told us, if we're not listening, if we're not paying attention, He told the people that even what you have, the guy who don't pay attention, even what he has will be taken from him. You know, some people, the worst thing they do is go to church. Because they go to church, they're lazy, they aren't going to pay attention, they aren't going to do things. And you know what? Over time, they lose ground. Over time, because they sit under the Word and they treat it like it's a nothing. And after a while, they're further back than what they were when they started. I've watched people do that. See, we're not supposed to be lazy. We've got to pay attention. We've got to, you know, as Christians. Jesus laid down these principles. These are principles of Jesus. If Jesus said it, it's so. And so we need to take it at that. And that's why, as we really, is paying attention to the Word of God. So we must be teachable. You know, to me, I've always considered myself in school. You know, school's always in. I'm always being educated. I'm always learning. I don't know any other. That's the way it's been all my Christian walk. But I've always been studious concerning the Word of God, staying over in the areas of wanting to learn and listening to stuff. And I'm very repetitious. And I found if you're not repetitious, you're not going to learn much. You got to learn to be very repetitious. Our society doesn't have that. Our society is, we have to have something new every time something comes up. There got to be a new sermon. There got to be a new something. You got to have something new, because people don't like, you know, the same old thing. If you don't like the same old thing, you're not going to learn things well. You're not going to be. It's repetition. It's why in schools today stuff don't work. You know, today they make fun of you. You did multiplication tables. But you know what? We could do math. And today, they can't. They're coming out of high school and can't add and subtract, multiply, and divide. Because, oh, you're over here just going through this, all these tables and that stuff. But we knew them. Sure did help, didn't it? You take their calculator away from them kids today, and they don't even know nothing, man. They can't do a thing. And see, you know, and they say, well, why can't we teach today? Because you're not teaching them. We're not teaching them. You know, some genius somewhere said they know how to, you know, to make this work, and we've been paying for it and it ain't been working. But understand, God doesn't change His system because society changes. And that's why we're in the mess we are spiritually in America today, is because American churches have changed, but God changes not. God didn't change the system. If you still ain't listening, He don't care. He ain't giving it to you. It's that simple. It's the way God's operating. Now, we went through a lot of scriptures last week, and we're going to go through some more tonight, because this principle stands, and Jesus did not say it one time. He said this stuff time and time and time again. And so we know Jesus said it, so we need to understand this is how the system works. Now, once you understand, to me, it's the easiest thing in the world, because, like, for me, I like it the fact if I, you know, if something's laid out for me on what to do, and I know that if I practice that and do it, I will get the result. You know, to me, I like that. So now I know what I can do, what I need to do to end up to get a result. Now, I don't always like what you have to do, but I am result-oriented. I do like the blessing at the end. And I've always found out with God, the blessing at the end always way outweighs the work in between. It always does. Now, sometime in the natural, you know, sometimes you went out and worked, did jobs and worked hard and didn't end up with much on the other end of it. But God don't do that. God, one thing I like about God, because Jesus talked about multiplying blessings and stuff and things. I like that kind of stuff. Multiplying? That's good stuff. I like the multiplying stuff. You know, multiply some things to me. That's good. But the blessing of God, and that's what you want to find out, because you learn how to operate within the system and how it works. You do what Jesus said. You're going to end up being blessed out of it. And that's what works. And that's what we want. We want things to produce things. I hate the religious stuff. I was born and raised in it. I hate it because it produces nothing. All it does is with people going around, you know, we do all these different things. It doesn't produce stuff. Everybody ends up, they're just as messed up when they, at the end as when they started. They're no more secure in their salvation. They're no more closer to God. They ain't got a thing more. They're just probably, you know, as they went down the road, they just did more dumb things in the name of religion, you know, trying their way to figure out a way to get to God. You know, I don't try to figure out ways to get to God. I read the Bible. God already planned how we get a hold of things and what we do. I don't need to come up with a new idea. You know, to me, that's good news. I don't have to come up with something. It's already in the book. And so Jesus put these things in the book for us. Now, last week, you know, we talked about Jesus. What Jesus said in Mark 4:13, where he said, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Speaking of the parable story, he said, how then will you understand all the parables? He asked, how are you going to understand all the parables? You ever think about that? In other words, and we need to understand, Jesus' parables used natural things he talking about, but they illustrated spiritual principles. Much of what you hear taught about parables, they have no more to do with the natural, they have more to do with the natural than they do spiritual. So, we need to understand this. These parables are spirituals. Jesus said this. If you don't understand the parable of the sower, you won't understand the rest of the parables. You won't understand them. So the principle lies. The parable of the sower lays out really of how the whole thing of faith works through the kingdom of God. How it works. You know, the scriptures tell us in the book of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please him. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of what? Those who diligently seek him. He didn't say he's a rewarder of those. He said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not just guys who came to church. He said the ones who diligently seek him. In other words, diligence, you know, means some kind of effort is put forth. In other words, it requires, diligence means it requires something of me to do something beyond just showing up. It isn't like going to a job and just getting showed, because you show up, you don't do any work, they might give you a paycheck. God doesn't. God doesn't do that. There's no unions in heaven. Sorry, the spirit kingdom of heaven, you don't have a lawyer stands up and say, no, you're lazy, you get paid anyway. You know, because we'll take them to court and we'll make sure you get your paycheck. You can take God to court all you want. He don't even show up, he just laughs, he don't even bother. And you don't get anything. So there's a diligence required, what? To get the reward. That principle stand all through the kingdom. That's how it works. I love this because I know this. If I do what I'm supposed to do, I will have reward. God doesn't tax me at the end and take half of my stuff and give it to the guy who didn't do anything. I like this system. He's not doing that. He won't do it. God doesn't do those things. And so we need to know, you know, the principle, if you don't work, you don't eat, just doesn't do the physical. It's spiritual also. If you don't work at the Word of God, God don't feed you the Word. God won't give you anything. If you don't work at it, you ain't getting anything. That's the way it works. I'm glad I learned this early as a young Christian, Because it really, in principle, I didn't learn the principle per se at first. What I did is I learned, I would sit and listen to Kenneth Hagin teach, and he would tell all the things and how, you know, he did, he sought God about things and how, you know, and praying and reading the Word and studying. I listened, and I just came up with this conclusion. Well, if I want to have things that he has, or things that he ran into God about and learn about God and learn about how the kingdom operates and works, I thought, well, you know, then I'm going to have to start doing what he did. I don't know. I come up with that principle. I just thought that if a guy was doing something and he was getting a result out of it, it would be a good idea to do what he did. Now, if anybody has an easier way to do it, I would sure like to know. I haven't found one. I don't know an easier way to do it. I don't know. I haven't found a way that you don't have to do things that, you know, and you'll get something anyhow. I haven't found that. I haven't found how to, but I do know that if you practice what the Word says and you do it like the Word says, that you will have the results. And that's like I found with Kenneth Hagin. I thought, well, if he did these things at work, so I started practicing stuff that he did, I started having results at things. Well, I found out, man, this thing works. I would go and listen more and more of what stuff that he did. And I started doing. God started showing me to do things. You remember how he did this over here? You do that. I started doing that. Next thing you know, bang, I got results. And that's what I was doing. You know, here's what people do today. They look for the guy who's the loser, and he becomes their champion. Well, see, God doesn't do it for everybody. You see that guy over there? He's a really nice Christian. And he believed that, and it didn't work for him. Well, he couldn't have believed it. It would have worked. And he might have believed it, but he probably never did it. Don't matter what you believe, it's what you do. It's what you do with what you believe. Jesus is telling us here. Now, last week we talked about the... from Luke 8, we close with this, and I just want to go over to this one where Jesus in Luke the 8th chapter, in verse 16, we want to read here because we went through this. In verse 16 of Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 16 says, "No one, when he has a little lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light." He said, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed." Listen, nothing. There's nothing that's secret that will not be revealed. Now listen to that. Nothing. See, some people say, well, God don't show us stuff. Well, I'm sorry. Jesus himself just called you a liar. No, he said there's nothing. There's nothing that's secret that will not be revealed. Nothing. Now, this is it. And come to the light. He said, therefore, what? Now, so what is it? Therefore, what are we supposed to do? Take heed how you hear. For whoever has to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So in other words, I know this. If you decide to seek God, you know, just like we get here together to go through the Word, God's going to reveal things to you. You take time to seek him, he's going to show you stuff. You know, he said, I like that. He said, nothing's secret that will not be revealed. Hallelujah. Now, he says this. Now, it depends upon how we hear things. See, some people, some people you'll minister to, they love to hear the Word. Some people, they don't. You know, if the Word steps on their toes, they close right down, shut right down. And this don't make me happy. I want something else, you know. You know, I don't want to have to get fixed. The other person needs fixed, not me. Get that other guy straightened out and everything will be good. Let me alone. And but people don't like to hear. What happens? It's how you hear. You know, you got to learn. You know, as the Lord said to me, years ago about, I spoke to him about it sometime. And he had for a time hadn't said anything to me about it because everybody's talking about this positive message. Oh, we got to preach a positive message. Well, I thought, because... Paul told Timothy one of the things he was supposed to do is rebuke. And I thought, would that be a positive message? And the Lord spoke to me one day and said this to me. He said, you know what a positive message is? Well, I knew I'd talked to him about this thing, about this positive message stuff, and I discussed it with him. And I knew if I knew the answer, he wouldn't say that. I learned this over the years. He'll ask me questions. He does this often. Ask me a question. And the only reason, he asked me a question, and I've learned over time, I don't try to answer him anymore. I just say, Lord, you wouldn't ask me that if I had the right answer. So let's just go right to this thing. What is it? Let's just get over on this thing. I want an answer. And he said this to me. He said, a positive message has more to do with the hearer than it does the speaker. The hearer. It's how I receive it. It's not, you know, You know, my parents dealt with me on things and corrected me on stuff because they did love me. They didn't want to get me in trouble. Yet it wasn't a pleasant thing at the time. But you have a choice. You either take it as something bad or something good. You know, a child that's always in rebellion and takes discipline as being a problem is going to be a problem kid. I mean, they're going to end up growing into a problem child if they don't learn to take things. A lot. We live in a society today in the church world. The church world is so bad today. I get things. I just got a thing sent to me from churches and talked about changing because our church is has put in our bylaws and things dealing with this homosexual marriage and different things like that because the government's moving in to try to make people do stuff. And we're just putting it in. We ain't doing it. And I just got a thing from ministries, you know, saying, oh, yeah, we ought to change these things, but don't tell the people in your congregation. Don't let anybody know. And all this is about money. That's all it is. We don't want to disturb things because, you know, they said, don't show your people the changes, your bylaws and stuff. Hold it. If people are members of your church, you don't want them to know what you're standing for? Which this means, I know that these ministers are not going to preach this stuff in their church. They're not going to preach moral conduct. You know, I'm at the point, I'm about ready to tell half these ministries, just go jump. I'm sick of them, fed up with them up to here. See, they get bigger and more popular. They become just less godly. It's just amazing what you have to put up with. And I'm sitting around thinking, my God, here we are, scared of the devil, scared that they'll take, you know, that the government's going to end up taking, you know, churches, you know, exempt status. Oh, man, if people are only given to get a tax write-off, they're a bunch of backslidden buzzards anyhow. They're worthless as Christians. You know, it's like, let's get over it. You know, are we following God or who are we following? Well, I found out where most of them are following, and it's the dollar sign. The love of money is big time in America. But you know, I don't care. I don't care if everybody else goes the other direction. I'm not. I don't care what they do. I don't care if I have to go by myself. I've been there before. I'm going to keep following God. I don't care what they do. But I am not going to let this spirit of the age make me afraid. I refuse to. Ain't going to scare me. They ain't going to have to worry after a while taking that their tax thing from us. I'm going to give it up. I'm about sick of this. I said, look, I don't want your stuff no more. You know, I don't want your write-off. I don't want your things. I'm fed up with it. I want you to know that I'm totally against what you're doing. 100% against your whole Democrat and Republican Party. I'm sick of them all. You know, it's like, dear God, I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't belong to the Republican Party. I don't belong to the Democratic Party. You know, you get tired of that kind of stuff. But we have here, how you hear things. So in other words, how I'm going to hear it. I determine that. You know, we determine whether we're good hearers or not. It isn't up to God to make you hear it. We decide whether we want to listen or not. You know, God don't give somebody the special ability to be able to believe his word and some other guy don't get it. We all have the same choice. We decide what we want to do with it. You know, much of what Christians pray about to God many times, asking God to help them, they're asking God to help them do what they don't want to do. That wouldn't be a very good thing. If you don't want to do it, it's a good thing to get the want to first. You might get some help. But if you don't have the want to, I don't think you're going to get much help. God's not going to do for us which we won't deal with. And so he said, we're supposed to be, take heed to how we hear. So if we hear right, that person's going to be what? Given more. You're going to be given more. So it's the idea that if I'm hearing right, you know, you just don't turn around and get something. You get more. And I found that I have never lacked of revelation as reading and studying the Word. You know, and I've heard, you know, people over the years talk about, oh, you know, it's like, oh, you're struggling to get things out of the Bible. I have never had that. I don't know what people are talking about, struggling. I have no idea what a Christian's talking about, struggling to get things out of the Word. The Word has always been light to me. I can pick up the Bible. I could turn to any scriptures in anywhere in the Bible, and I can start reading, and God will start revealing stuff to me. Why? Because I believe that's what he wants to do. I believe, you know, that's God's plan for me. Wouldn't it be dumb? I want you to teach the word, but I ain't going to show you nothing. You know? But to every believer, we don't find this is just for the teacher. This is for every disciple. Every disciple, the word ought to be light to us. We ought to be able to look at it. Now look, wherever we are in our areas of our development is going to make a difference to how much God can show you. God can show me a lot more now than he could when I was younger. And I figure if I grow a little more, he probably should be able to show me a lot more. But as you grow, he can show you more. In the natural, it works that way. You know, you're limited to a first grader of how much things you can deal with them on. But a kid in fifth grade, you could deal with them a lot more and give them a lot more information on different things that you couldn't give to the kid in first grade. At least you used to be able to do that. Today, it might not be any difference. I don't know. You might be dealing with a fifth grader, might not be as smart as the first grader. But anyhow, generally, if you're teaching people properly, as they develop, you can start to give them more information in a lot of areas. And you're going to find out that's going to be true in your own Christian walk. That's why you want to be a disciple. Hallelujah. And so the word says in Proverbs 20:27, it says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord." The spirit of man is the lamp. In other words, God enlightens us through our spirits. That's what he does. We're listening. Understand this about listening and hearing. What gets into our heart really is the door that it gets through is whether or not we're going to be open to hear things or not hear things is going to determine. In other words, I really, in many ways, if we intellectually close the door, we can stop things from getting into our heart. We can turn around and close the door to our own human spirit and not allow it to hear things. You want your spirit to be able to hear. That's why you want to be teachable. Never be afraid of the fact that you're going to hear somebody teaching something wrong. You know, because you have to learn over time. It's like Kenneth Hagin used to tell us. He says, be as smart as an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. You know, you have to learn to do that. You have to learn to lose the fear that somebody might say something that, you know, out here in teaching that, you know, that might be wrong. If you're developing, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. No, it's a simple thing. Just match things to the Word. If something doesn't sit right with you, then don't swallow it. It's that simple, you know? It's like putting something in your mouth. You put it in your mouth and it's like, get it out of your mouth. Be smart enough, you know? You know, get it out of your mouth. Well, in the same way you can do that is if things don't, I found sometimes things were taught to me and I, at the time, they just didn't sit right with me. But I found this, over time, they were right. I was just in a place or a position at that time where I didn't understand some things. So you have to learn to do that. But see, we're the guard to our own heart. But I see people get so guarded in the areas and that stuff, they don't let anything in their heart half the time. They're afraid, to let the Word get into their heart because God enlightens us through our spirits. That's how He does it. And that's what He wants to do. So God's going to reveal secrets to you. That's His plan. That's His purpose for you. That's what He wants to do. Now, in Mark the 4th chapter, Jesus said this in Mark the 4th chapter, because I want to read this one. It's in Mark the 4th chapter. Verse 21. Mark the 4th chapter, verse 21. It says, "Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand?" Again, and what the reason I'm going over these verses and that stuff, because they're said repeated. Different writers wrote them. If Jesus... these things, we believe that these men were led by the Spirit, at least I surely do. They wrote these things down and for the purpose. And if each writer took the time to write these things down, God inspired them to, then therefore it just shows how important this stuff is. Do you realize Jesus said more about this thing about hearing than he did in salvation itself? Through all the New Testament, salvation isn't talked about as much as this principle is. Why? Because salvation don't amount to a hill of beans if you don't learn this. If you don't learn this, it ain't going to work. So he says here, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything be kept secret, but that it should be come to light. If anyone has..." Now here he says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." He asks, if anyone has ears to hear. In other words, did God just give some people the ability to hear and others? He didn't. Well, if he did that, then it isn't his will that all should be saved, would it? That would have to be a lie. In other words, we determine. There are people who have ears to hear. In other words, they're teachable people. We decide that ourselves, whether we're going to be teachable or whether we're going to, you know, what we're going to do about the Word of God. We decide that. And so he said, a person, if you have ears to hear, then you're supposed to hear. He says, then he said, take heed what you hear. Now here he says, instead of how you hear, here they write to put down what you hear. So, in other words, you take heed. In other words, when you and I hear things, we should be have some kind of evaluation. If you're not sure about something, then you check it out. Match it up with the Word. Somebody's preaching something and you're not sure, you want to make sure the Word says it. Brother Kenneth Hagin used to tell us all the time in school and in teaching, if I say anything, you check it out in the Word to make sure that it's true. You don't take it just because I said it. You look in the Word. And see, this is where the difference between disciple and just hearer. Hearers go around just quoting what other people said and never go to check out to find out if it's true. They never go to the Bible to find out if it's true. They just swallow it. Any doctrine that comes along, they hear somebody, well, so-and-so said, well, you know, they're my favorite preacher, and so they said it, so that makes it right. No, if it's in the Bible, it's right. That's where it's right. And so the principles, the foundation of whatever they teach has to be in the Bible. There's big name ministers that over the years, you know, the biggest we have here in America, you know, they have international ministries, that I've heard them teach stuff and that stuff, use one scripture and make just, you know, it's only said one time in the Bible, and they make these big deals out of all this stuff and teach all kind of things off of it, and a lot of it's error. And I've watched these guys do it. I watch people swallow it. You know what? Well, they're their favorite minister. So, you know, they just go buy the thing and go jump off. Now, I've heard of people, they teach, there's other things they teach very good. But what they teach, when they were teaching those things, they were really wrong. And it hurt a lot of people teaching those wrong things. And, they are not responsible if you're lazy and don't check it out. You're responsible. You can't blame it on them. It's like people used to, you know, back when they had PTL. And all those people got up and said, well, you know, they gave money to PTL and it happened. And I used to tell people, PTL ain't the problem. You're the problem. If you listened to God, you'd have known that was a bunch of junk, but you didn't listen to God. And now you want to blame it on your backslidden, you know, condition. You want to go blame it on them. If you'd have listened, I said, you know, I wasn't a Christian more than about 3 or 4 months. And it was a number of years till PTL shut down. But I knew that it was going to go under then. I knew it because of an incident that happened. And Jim Baker talked about on his show. It took place, and I thought, if that man don't change, his ministry's going to fall. He made a statement of things, and I knew you can't survive in the kingdom saying what he just said. I knew this. God was trying to get a hold of him, and he was refusing because he wasn't hearing what he wanted to hear. But what he needed to hear, he didn't want to hear. And when they turned around, PTL fell, it was like, no surprise to me. I thought, my God, it's amazing it lasted this long. But, you know, people kept dumping money into it when it was already in the sewer, when it was already doing a lot of things wrong. And then people complained, oh, we were giving money, look at this and look at that. Hey, you helped it do that. If people would put a stop, you know, people would say, well, yes, I know this is wrong and that's wrong, but they're reaching a lot of people. Hold it. Going to reap what you sow, last time I read, you know. It don't say because there's a lot of nice things happening that you don't reap what you sow. But that's what people think today. That's what they get their little ideas. So we're supposed to watch, he says, what you hear. Now listen to what he says here. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Understand this. What is measured to you is based upon how you measure it, not how God measures it. It's how you measure it. Understand that. How do you measure it? What value do you place on the word that you've heard? The value that you place on that is the value it will pay back to you in reward. So in other words, if you put a little value on it, whatever it is, but it's going to be at the measure. Because we're going to find the parable of the sower, that's why the fruit produced isn't all the same. Everything doesn't produce at 100-fold. It can only produce at the measure of the value that you put on it. See, if you really value something that you hear out of the Word, and you put a high value on it, well, you're going to go after that, and you're going to end up producing more fruit in that area. However you value it. This is why, you know, ministers turn around and said, you know, well, God said, you know, that if everybody whoever puts $1,000 in this offering, he's going to give you double back for this thing. Hold it. It's at the value of the person. If a person has not valued the word of God concerning sowing, and he can't produce that, he ain't going to produce what the guy said. He can't do it. God, in other words, he's saying, look, if you do this, we just overhaul all the faith principles and all the principles of hearing and everything, and we're going to give you an offering back. hold it, hold it, hold it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. A lot of these preachers are liars. They're just downright liars. You know, because God said, I want to hear too. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And see, people get over into all this stuff and doing these things in this way. It's how I measure it. It's not how he said it. It's how I measure it. So, you know, let's put it this way. Out of everything that the Scripture says of God, what God would want us to produce the fruit in our life would be a hundredfold, wouldn't it? On everything. Well, we're going to find out that that doesn't work for everybody. But it sure would be nice to produce some fruit in it, because some people produce no fruit. In fact, you're going to find the majority don't. Majority of people produce no fruit. Majority of people produce no fruit. Now, most ministers won't tell you that because they'd be scared to scare people off or something. But it's true. We'll find it's a fact of Scripture. Because, you know, I don't know why, but most people are lazy. Most people are not going to do what it requires to produce. You know, it's just like a farmer. A farmer don't go lay down and sleep during, you know, seed time and all the stuff. He's doing a lot of work. It's a lot of stuff going on. You know, springtime comes and all there is to get ready and all there is to do, all the things that you have to accomplish and all this stuff going on. They have all this work. You know, you take a dairy farmer, he's got a lot of work anyhow to go along with. But now he's got all the field work to do coming and getting things going. There's a lot of work involved. And the whole thing is about reward. And see, we've lost that. The church has lost focus because we as a people nation used to be like that. You know, a guy would go out and work hard at a job, start a business. I mean, today, they think the guy who works for a man who starts the business ought to make the same money the guy who did who started the business. This is America today. This is Christianity today. Most Christians think they ought to be paid at the rate the guy that owns a company, and they get mad if they aren't. Well, look all that he has, and why can't he give me a raise? Well, you're talking the way you are. I wouldn't give you a raise because God wouldn't. God has good enough sense to know an idiot like you don't deserve any more. And see, we get into those modes. Instead of saying, hey, I want to produce because I want to make more in life. No, take it from somebody and give it to me. Don't work that way. It doesn't work. That's why we have the decline financially in our nation. The decline is here. It has to decline because whatever we have is being taken from us. Because why? We're not following godly principles anymore. We have decided to follow socialism. We have left what God said, you know, work and eat. We have left that to you sit around, do nothing, take somebody else's and have it. And we've left that. So what happens? The economy declines and it has to decline. There's no other way for it to go. You're going against the principles of God. God's word is going to work whether you like it or not. You know, now if you're working in it, you can still be blessed. You can walk in blessed, but I'm going to tell you nationally, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to work out well. So we find out here, so how we measure it, he said, and to you who hear, more will be given. Praise God. You get more. I like the more stuff. He says, for whoever has, it says to him, more will be given. But, he said, whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. There it is again. So really we have Matthew said it, Mark's, and here we have Mark said it, and Luke said it also. Matthew, Mark, and Luke spoke around these same things again. Each one of them added some things that were a little different, but you look at the whole picture of what Jesus is saying. You look at the whole thing, this principle that stands. So, really, the casual hearer does not receive from God. The person who just wants to just, so I just want to casually listen. Oh, that was nice, that was really good. But really takes it from a casual standpoint. You know, you'll never find the surface Christian, the guy who only just tries to glean from the surface. You'll never find that person develops and grows. They don't do it. It takes time. It takes work. But number one, I love the payoff from it, from taking the time to do it. You know, it's just like I spent how many hours a day in study, listening to last week, what I taught, going over it, just turning around studying this week and stuff and just going over these things. Why? Because the more I go over, the more I see about these things. I never teach things without learning more about them, the subject that I did before. That's why I like it. I get more revelation. And I know this. Every time I teach it, I'll get more revelation on the things. Every time I teach it, I know this. Every time I study it, I'll get more revelation. Every time I study it. If I go over it five times, I'll get new revelation every time I go over the thing. I'll see some things in a different way than I saw them before and think, wow, just builds and builds, gets better and better, which is good because this means I can get more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, I do. See, people say, you serve God just to get stuff? Sure do, He told me to. If you don't, poor old you. What on earth are you in the kingdom for? What would you come in the kingdom for if you just want what you got? I mean, I'd be stupid. I'm tired of what I got. Hallelujah. I want what God got, and we can get what God got. Hallelujah. You know, God, the Bible says, He can make you prosper, and there's no sorrow with it. Most people, once they start prospering, all sorrow comes. Because they just love their money and follow their money, and that gets ugly after a while. Because money starts to control you, you're in trouble. God can prosper you, and there's no sorrow with it. Glory to God, I want to go there. That's where I want to live. I want to live where you ain't got no sorrow. Love, money don't hold you, you hold money. Hallelujah. Glory to God, that's where we want to be. We want to be where we control it, it don't control us. And God will give you that ability. So I want to be able to arrive at that place. I don't want to be a casual hearer, because a casual hearer, even what they do know, they keep messing around and they're going to end up with less. I don't need to end up with less. My God. Anyhow, I want us to look at something, because we're going to begin to look at something, because really we want to understand this, that God is hidden. You know, listen, we live in a world here. Now the Bible tells us God's everywhere. Doesn't, you know, the psalmist said, where could I go? And God wouldn't be there. You know, where I went here, went there, God would be there. If I went in the depths, He's there. And he goes through this whole thing. God is there. But it's a whole different thing to understand this. God is everywhere, but most people never run into God. Most people, the majority of the people in this world, will live and die and never run into God. But yet God's everywhere. Because God is everywhere, we need to understand God is hidden. In fact, it says in Isaiah 45:15, it says, truly you are a God who hides himself. Truly you're a God who hides himself. See, God's hidden. Now, how do we run into God? Well, the principles we're learning is about hearing the word of God. What happens? We come in contact with God the more we search for God. We come into contact with God. And this is how you do it. That's why God's around. Look, out here, if we walk, most of the Christian world and a lot of things that you take songs and stuff of eras past and things, you know, people, you know, wrote songs like How Great Thou Art. They talked about creation. You know, you might see in creation that there's a God, but that don't mean you've run into God. Don't mean you found, you just saw what He made. That don't mean you've run into Him. See, and they're singing about all He did. There's nothing wrong with that. But the whole thing of it is, that doesn't bring you into contact with God. That's a different thing. See, the Bible tells us that we know by the things that are created, there's a God. But that isn't how you come into contact with God. You come into contact with God through faith in His Word. God becomes real as you learn to trust Him through His Word. You learn to trust God, and God starts manifesting Himself to you. He becomes real to you. It's not we're looking at His artwork. You know, you can go into an art gallery and look at some guy's artwork, but you don't run into Him if He ain't there. You just saw what He painted. You don't know nothing what He's like. I know that God's incredible concerning His creation, but I want to tell you this. God is billions of times more fantastic of who He is than what He created. This thing is a drop in the bucket we're looking at. If you think this is the greatness of God, I feel sorry for you. You don't know nothing about Him. You look in God's Word, you can just see from things from God's Word about His greatness. The Bible says that He put the stars out there by His fingers. In other words, He flicked them out there. That was a nothing. The creation wasn't anything. It was hardly a thing for Him to do. God didn't even breathe hard. He didn't say, oh, let's strain to make this. Let's try to believe this. Come on, Jesus. Let's get together and try to believe. And you know, they didn't do none of that. No strain. Just did it. See, God's phenomenal. Now, we may know there's a God, but God's hidden. People all over the world pray and never hear from God, never run into God. I was just thinking, look at all the religions in the world. Look at what people do to seek for God, but God stays hidden from people. And we need to understand it, because God is one sought according to His Word. He saw it according to his word, and you can't get to them any other way. There's no other way to run into God. I want us to look here, and we'll use this, and then we'll finish tonight with this part here. But I want you to go over to Matthew, the 6th chapter. It's what Jesus said. It's one of the things we want to learn from a word. It's about listening to what the word says. Is listening here into what the word says. Jesus said, here again, Jesus is talking. And this is why we want to begin to practice, because he lays down for us what we need to do in line with the principles we've been looking at. And he tells us what to do. And see, if we start to practice this, you're going to find out. You're going to prosper, you're going to be blessed if you will start practicing this stuff. Now, he says here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 25. He's there, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Quit worrying about your life. See, so many people today, here's the whole thing. What do we have today in our society? Everybody's worried about, what about health care? What about the government's doing this? It's all about our lives. We're so worried about our lives. How are things going to turn out for me? How are these going to happen? You know, if you don't learn to put that down and stop that, you're going to be in big trouble, because you will not be a hearer of God's word. You will be opposing it all the time. He said here, therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. He said, isn't life not more than food and body more than clothing? Isn't life better than that? Well, see, it's one thing, if you're running into the kingdom of God and you're running into God, you're going to find out, man, that's the least of anything. Because look what he goes on to say. Now, this is what Jesus is speaking. Now, Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. Now, this is Jesus talking. So to me, anybody can argue on this subject any way they want to, but I ain't going to change, because Jesus is the last word on the subject. Jesus said to this, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? I will tell you, the average spirit-filled believer don't even believe that. They'll struggle in life, always trying to take care of themselves. Struggle at life, trying to take care of themselves. And talk about believing God. But struggle, worry about things. Worry about, stuff going on. Jesus saying, look, the birds out there. See, we got even the point. People didn't think today birds can take care of themselves. Everybody wants to have a bird feeder to take care of the birds, because birds can't take care of themselves, God can't take care of them birds. How about people? Well, see, God has us feeding the birds, and that's how he uses to take care of the birds. And I said, is that true? See, well, what happened before people started with bird feeders? Who was taking care of them then? I said, God was doing fine without you. In fact, I found this. I was reading some things about this. It's how we've messed up bird migration. That there's a lot of songbirds that are becoming extinct because of feeding them all the time. They don't leave their areas, and they don't go to the areas where they did before for breeding, and then come back. So they miss a breeding cycle. There's getting to be less of them because we're doing God's business. We're taking care of God's stuff for him. These poor birds out here. My God, we got to give them a lunch bag. God can't take care of birds. Well, if God can't take care of birds, you can't believe he'd take care of you. Because your needs are greater than the birds. Your needs are greater than the birds. See, if you want to feed birds, feed birds. But you better feed birds for right reasons. Because if you think you got to take care of them, I will guarantee you, you'll never believe God take care of you. God said he takes care of the birds. Thank God he takes care of the birds. That's what he does. Glory to God. So, he said to look at these birds. And he asked the question. And this is a question. Now, can God say this question to you? Are you more valuable? Are you more valuable? It says, for the body, are you more valuable than the birds are? Are you more valuable than they are? See, most people say, oh, yes, yes. Now, I'm going to talk about, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? You understand? I can name you Christians' names. Their pets are more valuable than other humans are. See, we live in a society today that all kind of stuff's creeped in. Now, look, nothing about having pets and liking your pets, but we need to understand this. We talk about the value of human life. God just told us here that the value of human life is above animal life. They're not on the same level. I'm sorry, you know, we've had cat, we really liked our cat, but they say, well, you know, your cat's, you know, one of your family members. I'm sorry. You know, when our cat left, we didn't do what we would do for a family member. You know, we didn't have a funeral and go through a whole lot. You know, come on, people. Now, I know people, they do that today, but see, they're part of their family. But, you know, see, how you value, how you see yourself, these people don't realize it. They minimize their value, therefore they destroy their own faith in what God can do for them. They don't see that. People don't see that. You never put yourself on the level of animal life. Science sure wants to do it. You know, education today wants to put things and people, things that they're doing. Don't you ever do it, because it will minimize your faith. You listen to what God says. He asked a question. This is God asking you a question. Are you more valuable than birds? Well, it should be yes, and you should really believe that. That you are more valuable. And because that really, that's a staple, because he's going to go from here. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, worrying about things, he said, can you change, or we'd say, whether it be an inch to your, you know, growth or whatever it is, or 5 inches, 6 inches, whatever you're going to do. In other words, can you change your height by worry? In other words, worry produces nothing. This is what he's just basically telling us. Worry will produce nothing. Actually, worry is destructive. I mean, even studies that they've done, medical studies they've done, they found out that most people that have cancer, a lot of their problems is because of worry. And a lot of people, you know, I remember back some years ago, I read a thing. They said that at one time that the American Medical Association put this out, probably about 10 years ago it was, at least I read this. And they said that 70% of people were in the hospital, their disease was psychosomatic. It was because of their worrying and stuff, they ended up sick. 70%! They estimated 70%. In other words, people made themselves sick. People were making themselves. You know, they found this. People who worry and that stuff are more susceptible to cancers and all kinds of stuff. They're more susceptible to it. Why? Because it kills the immune system in the body. Stops the immune system from working. See, worry doesn't do you any good. So he asked, well, can you change? You know, in other words, we can't change things by worry. He said, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider, now listen, here, one of the most wonderful parts of this, he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil, they don't spin. He said, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, listen what he says. The flowers and stuff that grow out here, he said, Solomon. Now, I want you to understand Solomon. You know, Solomon was so rich in his reign that silver was worthless. The Bible tells us they dumped silver outside the city. It was dumped out like stone. It was worthless. Had no value. He had so much gold. Let me tell you, Solomon was the best dressed guy in town. Solomon wore robes and stuff that had gold weaved into them. He wore stuff like that. I mean, his underwear were probably more expensive than today people's suits, you know. But you need to understand. But what does God say? God said the lilies of the field. Now, all that Solomon do, he couldn't match the beauty of flowers themselves. You know how people work to come up with dyes and things to try to match colors that there are in nature? I mean, today, laboratories working, they make big money just trying to develop colors that will match things that you find in nature. Now, he says this. Okay. He said, now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he said, will he not much more clothe you? Now, listen to what he said. Will he not much more clothe you? God's plan is to give you better than the lilies of the field, which means God said you ought to be dressed better than Solomon. Funny they don't preach this stuff in the church. I mean, this is the word of God. This is God's plan. You see, people say, well, Jesus said there'll always be poor with you. Yeah, there are always going to be people that ain't going to listen to the Bible. They're always out there. They're always out there not listening. There's people always not paying attention. God's plan is for you to be dressed. So God's plan is for the church is to be better off, better clothed than the lilies of the field. And he said Solomon couldn't dress as good as they did. Now, is that true or not? See, here's things we have to decide. Is that true? Now, we say we know it's true, but can you believe it? See, most people will match what they see around them to what is said. Yes, I believe that's true, but I don't think God wants it. That'd be a waste of money to have it. Do you think God, money, I mean, God paves streets with gold. I mean, in heaven, gold is like blacktop. We don't go out here and cherish blacktop, do we? It is getting more expensive, though, to do it. But anyhow, we're not, he don't cherish it. And we need to get in this idea. See, we don't think like God thinks. See, when God talked about if the person who heard, he would even give them more, when we think, well, you get a little bit, we're just finding out about what this little bit more, this more is. See, God's plan about more is a lot more than we think about more. When God talked about supplying all of our needs, when Paul said God will supply all your needs, he wasn't talking about what people think need is. Most people, what they need, what they think about what they need, is probably 0.1% of what God thinks they need. And see, this is why we got to be careful how we hear. We're listening wrong. The church has been listening wrong. The church is not listening to God. The church has listened to the religious ideas that have been taught through the years. You accept it this way. Because I will guarantee you, you go over, if I stood most Christians and taught this stuff, it would be blasphemy. Oh my God. They'd have done the same thing to Jesus. This is Jesus talking. If they don't believe what I'm reading about Jesus now, they sure wouldn't have believed it when Jesus said it. They'd have been doing the same thing, crucifying, crucifying. He's saying it. Now, it's the only thing, I have a choice. I can believe it and set myself on a course to match what he said, or I can just say, well, that's okay, that's nice. And let's say I'll get 2% of that. That's where I'm going to shoot for, 2%. Or, hey, do I want to go to 30? Do I want to go 60? But we make the choice, and we do it by how we hear it. How we hear it. So we need to make sure, am I hearing things right? Am I hearing? Because I was amazed. Over the years, I've listened to these scriptures taught so much, and I've never heard anybody that teaches it the way that's said. I never hear anybody ever teach it that way. And I'm really amazed because I never even hear the prosperity teachers teach it. Because this is better than they teach. But in other words, you know, the wonderful thing about it, really, God's plan to you and me is not limited. We can go as far as we'd like to go. See, nobody can say, well, you know, I just, this is what God wanted me to have. No, this is what I took. This was what I received. Just think if we all can only just have the same. You know, some person may not want to go far in this. Another might. Don't condemn the guy that wants to go further. You know, cheer him on. Let him go further. You know, if you want to go further, go for it. Glory to God. Have better. So God's plan. So he says, therefore, because of this, look, because of this principle he just laid down of how God wants to do this, this is God saying, this is what I want to do for you guys. Here's what I want to do. He said, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Now listen, he says, verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. Now you need to understand the principle of the time that Jesus is stating this. When Jesus is making this statement, there is not a Gentile church. So there is no covenant people who are Gentile. The Gentiles are the heathen. And really, in writing of that time, they wouldn't have used the word Gentile. He would have used the word heathen. Because that's what they did. The word Gentile meant heathen to the Jew. In other words, heathens worry about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear. Heathens do that. We're not heathens. We're covenant people. See, he told the Jews, at that time, they're covenant people. He said, you guys are not supposed to be like the heathen. This is not in your life. God's saying this, and this is a principle that I learned. I heard a pastor teach this one time, and I'll tell you what, it blessed me because he made this statement. He said, it's never the job for a servant to take care of himself. The servant's job is to do the master's will. It's the master's job to provide the need of the servant. Do you get that? That's exactly what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is teaching, you're not the one that's supposed, I'm supposed to take care of you. You're supposed to be doing my will. You're supposed to be doing what I need you to do, and I want to take care of you. That's what he's teaching here. He's laying this principle out. The heathen are worried. They're the ones seeking for the stuff. He said, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. He said you need them. You know, you need to be dressed better than little as the field. That's what God said. God said you need it. You need it. You need to be. You need to have good clothing. You need to have good food. You know? You know, I like a hot dog now and then, but I don't eat hot dogs all the time, you know? You know, let's get, you know, I like to, you know, do eat something else, you know, once in a while. You know, it's nice to eat a lobster now and then. It's nice to eat these different things. It's nice to do that stuff. We should be able to. There's nothing wrong to it. It's not being extravagant. God put the thing, he said, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. I should be able to eat steak pretty often if I want to. People say, oh boy, the price of meat's climbing out there. That's going to climb to wherever you want it. Jesus will give me meat. I'll be eating steak. So, you know, we'll be doing it. You know, you can get back and watch me and talk about the price all you want, but I'm going to be eating it. Because we can do it. And it's not be, you know, I don't lust after those things, but I know that I can have, God will provide for me. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry, you know, and get into, I don't have to be like the heathen does. You know, we just got to take care of ourselves. You got to look out for yourself. You got to take care of yourself and all this. No, praise God, there's somebody bigger than Ed taking care of Ed. Hallelujah. And I'm sure glad. I'd be in a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. Now listen, so now he's going to tell us our job. Here's our job. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. In other words, they'll just be given to you. You don't have to be running around asking for it. Loads of things I never pray about with God. God will give me. Why? Because I don't have to. The thing that my job is to do is seek his kingdom and his righteousness. That's my job. That's your job. See, most of Christianity, never do the job Jesus told them to do. God has a job for them, and that's the last thing they're doing. They are doing all this other. They're out here trying to make everything else. They're trying to take care of everything else. And that's how people wear out. That's why we have a society today that's so busy they can't do anything. Because we're just so busy. We're so busy. Why? We have to be busy because we're so busy taking care of ourselves. We're so busy trying to meet all of our needs. We're so busy talking about God doing things, but really, most of it's us. And we got to get over, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. One of the things about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, people need to understand it. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He said, God doesn't pay every Friday. You know, he doesn't even pay every 2 weeks. And you know, lots of times with going after the things of God, it takes time. It takes time, work. This is where faith and patience come in. But you come to a time, you know, Wanda and I, you know, it took us many years, and we talk about in the areas of giving and things like that. I mean, Wanda and I, over the years, I mean, people talk about a lot of money in the ministry. There sure is, because we put loads of it in. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands over the years. And you know, Wanda and I went for many years, it seemed to us, you're always just, we're just getting by. But we knew what the principles were, and we're just going to keep following. We're just going to keep doing them. And then we came to the place where things started coming. Things started getting easier on that side, where there wasn't as much labor to that anymore, working it, because we learned how to work the system. And we learned how to do it. You know, it's just like learning that system. We had been sewing and doing all kinds of stuff. When I went to Bible school with Wanda and I, we were in Bible school. God blessed us so much when I was in Bible school, and it really, it worked out so good for us there. But I watched with a lot of students, it didn't work that way, because, you know, they waited to get to Bible school to start to learn down and finally sit down and study. So they're just learning to get into the thing. They didn't know how to make it work. Financially, people struggled and went through a lot of stuff. But we learned, because I took the time. I was in Bible school before I ever went to Bible school. I was learning the stuff, and I was practicing the principles and doing the things. And when we arrived there, I already knew how to make this stuff work. We knew how to believe God and get money in it. We knew what to do. We were in the will of God, working the will of God. We weren't out trying to take care of ourselves. I used to tell people, God can't take care of me here. I can always know where I came from. I'll pack up and leave. If he can't take care of me, he ain't who he said he was. If he sent me here to starve out, I'm going home. We don't play those games. I can't read in the Bible. Said that was his will for me. But you know, a lot of people hadn't learned that. They hadn't got in the Word and found out how good God was. Most people don't know how good God is. They don't know how good he is. They're afraid to take the time to seek his kingdom because they're so busy taking care of themselves. They're so busy looking after all their stuff. They're so busy doing all their things that they stop. They neglect in this area. This is one of the greatest payoff areas. Because if you'll seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I'm going to start teaching righteousness on Sundays. We're going to go over into that area because it's an important subject in the kingdom. I've taught on it before, but we're going to go back to it again. Because if you don't know your righteous standing with God, you're going to always be diminished in your faith. There's no way that you can walk. There's no way that you could, you know, righteousness is such an important subject. And that's why he said, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. If you don't understand righteousness, you're just going to work. Because if you don't understand righteousness, you don't have a clue who you are. You don't know your value. You don't know what you are to God. You know, people say we're a child of God. People say we're a child of God, but they really don't believe God wants to take care of them. What kind of father do they have? They don't know their daddy. You learn righteousness and you learn what God did for you. We talked about it on Tuesday somewhat about righteousness. And we talked about one of the things that was there was what God did for us really in salvation and saving us. God did what he did because he was proving his righteousness. God saved me because he was so righteous. See, righteousness is an important subject. And God did what he did because of righteousness. And so, but we're supposed to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And he said, these things will be added. He didn't say, these things you got to try to get. You got to try to make this happen. God wants to put himself in the place where he is obligated to take care of you. That's where he wants you at. Where you look as him, you have to do this for me. He's glad you feel that way about it. Well, you shouldn't be make God feel that there isn't right. Yes, it is right. It's exactly right. God wants you to believe into the place and stand in the place where he is obligated to do what he said. That's what he's been waiting for and waiting for and waiting for his people. To take him at his word and say, okay, God's going to do it, and if he don't do it, he ain't who he said he was. Well, I'll guarantee you, every time he'll prove he's who he said he was. You want to put him into that position to allow him to do that. Let him do things to you. This is where you get God gets personal in your life. When he starts doing things for you, things start showing up and things start happening for you and working for you without you all the time chasing after it and even trying to get him to do it. You know, all of a sudden he starts getting personal. It's like, oh my God, he likes me. You know, he really does. I'm going to tell you, you can read in this book all you want about how he likes you. It ain't till it shows up and happens you're going to start believing it. That changes everything. You know, a person can tell another person they love them all they want. It ain't till they start actually doing it till a person's going to really believe it. And if you believe somebody loves you just because they said it and they never did nothing to prove it, you're an idiot. God wants to prove to you. He doesn't want it written on pages of a book, and that's where it stays. He wants you in the place where you know, without a shadow of a doubt, he loves you because he wants you to experience it. He wants you to experience it. I was taught as a kid in church, you weren't, you know, supposed to experience nothing with God. You know, you're supposed to believe in him. If he wants to do something, he'll do it. If he don't want to do it, he don't do it. It's like God was this impersonal thing that really sometimes he was supposed to be nice and other times get back. He's mad about something. He got the wrong side of bed. He's grumpy. You know, today's been a bad day for God, you know, and he's going to do this. He's going to hit you with a lightning bolt. He's up there writing down every ugly thing you ever did. And he's, you know, I thought, heaven, my God, they have a room just full of stuff with notes piled up. And I did. My God. And then he say, but you know, he does love you. Say, well, get over it. He writes down all the bad stuff, but he loves me. Now you'd think he wouldn't be writing everything down so much if he loved me. But we need to get thinking right about these things. Take what the word says. So the way that we measure, just like with this here, what Jesus said, how I measure what he said is how it's going to be paid back to me. So what he said here, how am I going to measure? Well, you're going to start, you ain't going to start off the top, so forget it. I mean, you don't start off just believing everything 100%. But you're going to have to start believing in the measure. You're going to have to start putting out a measure of this where you're going to start trusting God in things. Where you're going to turn around and let some things get into God's hands. You know, I've learned this. What we would do is things that we wouldn't even pray or ask about. God's going to take care of it. We just say, God will take care of that. We're not even bothered with that. Why? I'm busy over here. I got these things. God called me to do this. I can't go around here and do. It's like I told the Lord concerning my family. You know, when the Lord spoke to me about Psalm 128, it says, the man who fears the Lord walks in his way. His wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house. His children as olive plants around the table. He says, thus shall be the man that fear the Lord. The Lord spoke to me when I read that scripture. He told me to go read that. I read it. And he said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. And I've always held him to that. When I was traveling, I'd be, you know, on mission trips or something like that. I'd be gone from the family and all that stuff. I never did think. I would tell God, I won't take money from the family to go on mission trips. If you can't supply the money for them, you ain't the God you said you were. You don't tell me to do something. You said you were going to take care of your family. I expect you. And I used to tell the Lord, Lord, you don't take care of the family, I don't have to do what you say. Because then you don't honor your word. Well, I'm going to tell you, He's always honored His word. He's always good for His word. He's always provided for the family. I have never prayed or done things like most people do concerning their family. Because what they do is they do the thing like the same thing with food and clothing. They're always trying to take care of it all. They're trying to handle it all. They're trying to do it all. And they wonder why nothing ever works. That's why it don't work. Because you know what? We're supposed to do the Master's will and let Him take care of things. And we don't. We try to take care of everything and we ain't got time to do the Master's will. And we say, I don't understand why this doesn't work for me. Why? You ain't ever worked it yet. You got to start working it. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you'd missed it, you know, just say, oh me, repent. And it's all over. And then you start picking up to where it's right. Get back over. Start letting God work in your life. Let Him do something. Let Him do something that you can know that He did. And it won't be of, well, I wonder if He did it or not. But you can know that He worked out for you. Because it will inspire you to have confidence in Him. And that's what you want. He wants to do things that you know that God did. That you can look people in the face. So one thing the Lord told me of ministering to people. He said, the more confidence you have in me, He said, people can come to faith easier. The more you have confidence, they can take a hold of your confidence. And it'll help them believe. You find preachers that preach and they don't have much confidence. You know, they just, well, you don't know if God's going to do it or not. Well, they're just want the confidence. You don't have no confidence. The guy's saying he don't know. Sometimes God does, sometimes He don't. You have confidence. It helps people believe. Well, you're not going to have confidence if you don't have experience. That's why many people say, I talk to people, they don't pay attention to me. Well, the reason they don't is you have no confidence because you ain't getting experience. You got to experience God. You start experiencing God, you'll tell people, hey, you see God, you do what the Word says and God will do it for you. That's why I can stand and say it. I know it's true. I've experienced it, man. I've experienced it thousands and thousands of times. I've experienced it. So I can tell people, I know it works for sure. You know? Do you know what you like? If I've changed a flat tire in a car and I know how to do it, I can tell people with experience. I know how what you do when you change a tire in a car. Can I? Because I've done it. I know how it works. It's anything in life. You've got to experience it. You need to experience God. The church is mostly intellectual today. It's all about book learning. But the book's there so you can experience God. If you do what it says, you can actually literally experience God. God's real. You can't have a relationship with a book. But you can with God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank You tonight. Lord God, as we've looked here into Your Word, Father God, I just want to thank You, Lord God, for the wonderful anointing to teach. And Father, You're greater than what we could even teach or say. You're absolutely phenomenal. And I just want to thank You. Father God, I thank You, Father God, that You're going to lead them and guide these ones here, Lord God. God, they're in a search. And they're looking and they want something more. Lord God, they want to go beyond where they're at and what they've all understood up to this time. Father, I believe they have great desire to experience You and not just to know about You. Father God, Father, they want You in the middle of their lives. And Father God, if they ask You, You'll be there. Hallelujah. If You invite them, You'll move right in. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank You. I thank You You're going to reveal Yourself to them. You're going to show Yourself. Father, You're going to be real in their lives. You're going to do things for them. And Lord God, I thank You they're going to experience things with You, Father, beyond what they've ever thought or dreamed they might. Hallelujah. Father God, Father, it will no longer just be a God on pages of a book. But Lord God, it's a real and a living God. Hallelujah. That they know, that they walk every day with, that that You're there doing things with them, helping them along in their life. Father God, that they don't have to worry or fret about anything. Hallelujah. Father God, that You're taking care of the situations that even seem hopeless. Doesn't seem like anything can be done about it. Father God, You're fixing it. Hallelujah. You're working on it. Lord God, because we're just going to trust You. Father, You're going to do exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or think, according to the power that works in us. And I want to thank You, Lord God, we can look to You. I thank You, Father God, that You're meeting every need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father God, there are people who are blessed. Father God, as if Israel was blessed under the law and they were the head, not the tail, how much more the church of Jesus Christ? Father, if they were blessed coming in and going out, Father God, how much more would the church be blessed coming in and going out? And we thank you for all that you're going to do and accomplish in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen.